English classes growing up about a homophone. A homophone is a word that sounds exactly like another word, but the definitions are completely different. A couple of examples, flour and flour. You have a flour in the garden, and you have a flour in the kitchen that you bake your dough with. Break and break. You have a break on your car, your bicycle, or you can step on a glass or light bulb and you can break it. Or as the Prime Minister of Israel made famous over the last few years, peace and peace. He said, do I want a piece of paper or do I want the lasting peace? Every language has homophones and Hebrew is no exception. I want to focus just for a moment on one homophone, and that's the word osher and osher. Osher with an ayin means rich, but osher with an aleph means happiness. Rabbis ask, Ezo hu ashir, who is rich? Hasameach b'chelko, the one who is happy with their lot. Rabbi Avraham Ornstein says that often we think that happiness is a feeling that we get after we are successful when we have accumulated wealth and possessions. And similarly, we often think that wealth will bring that happiness. But if you're like me and you don't like to throw anything away, whether it's a trophy that you got for piano lessons or sports in second grade or a yearbook or a birthday card or anything in your childhood or adult years, for some reason we have this thing inside and we feel that if we do not have that physically, we feel incomplete. Our rabbis in the Talmud continue the discussion about what it means to be rich. And they give a couple of different examples. Rabbi Meir says simply, to be rich is to have pleasure with your wealth. Rabbi Tarfon says, to be rich is to have 100 vineyards, 100 fields, and 100 servants in those fields. Rabbi Yossi is a bit more pragmatic. He says, you know what it is to be rich? It's if you have a lavatory, a bathroom next to your kitchen. The real thing. But to be rich, to be happy is to be rich. In our Torah portion this morning, we read of Abraham, and it says, Abraham was that king, he was old, but Beirach Hakol. God blessed Abraham with everything. If Abraham counted his material possessions, there wouldn't be so much. Maybe a couple of camels, a tent, and he welcomed so many people in. And if you look at Abraham's family, how could he be rich? Look at his children, Yitzhak and Ishmael. They weren't exactly the best of friends. But at the end of Abraham's life, when he passes away, the Torah tells us that Yitzhak and Ishmael buried their father. But one generation later, Esau, a known villain in the Torah, also not exactly the best friend with his brother Yaakov, Jacob, but the Torah, when you read the narrative, during his grandfather's life, during Abraham's life, Esau never rebelled. Because Esau understood that rebelling within his father's lifetime causing much distress and much suffering. It was only after Abraham passed away that Esau rebelled. Abraham had the characteristic, the trait, to find happiness by drawing people close who were far away. Far away from God, but even more importantly, far away from each other. That's what he did with his own family. And that's what he did as a father of Judaism and truly a father of so many others. When Abraham looked around and he did a 360, he turned in a complete circle. Abraham understood that he had the osher of osher, that he had the wealth of happiness. Not wealth and happiness, but he had the wealth of happiness. As we head into the Thanksgiving season of gratitude, Abraham can teach us a very simple lesson. A simple lesson that the tzuras, that the worries and frustrations that we go to in our lives do not have to be an excuse for us to be unhappy, but rather they can be motivation for us to find simcha, for us to find joy again. And to put it in more secular terms, the great musical artist Bobby McFerrin had a fantastic hit chart in 1988, rose to number one. He said it in four words that I think Abraham did in his life. Don't worry, be happy.